Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 5 of Anime Chateau Podcast. My name is TJ, also known as Screams. My goal is to spread the love of anime across the globe. Before we get started, I also run a Facebook page for the podcast. It's called Anime Chateau, where people can share their love for anime. And it's also a great place for occasional updates or just to have conversations for any of your favorite fandoms, even if it's video games or Marvel Comics, anything like that. Joining me today, as always, is my co-host, Sam.
Hey, guys.
And today we have a guest host, and his name is Corey.
How you doing?
And before we get started, I wanted to thank everybody that's been listening so far and announce that we've hit our first milestone of 100 plays. So, small achievements, but still a good thing nonetheless. So, we're just going to hop right into this. I think we got a good episode planned out for today. I'm pretty excited for our topic. I think the listeners will have a lot of fun listening to us talk about it. So we're going to jump right into our shout-outs right off the bat. And we got our first email at animechateau@gmail.com. And this one is from Craig, who was the guest on our very first episode. And he said he had a question for Sam in particular. Mm-hmm. We talked about Shaman King getting a reboot on the last episode. And he said, in Shaman King, when Yo fights with his spirit, Amidamaru, which is the spirit's name, it's basically the same as a stand-in JoJo, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would technically be kind of the same thing. I'm reluctant to admit it, but yeah.
And then he also said he had a question for both of us, and he asked if either of us had watched Durarara. I don't know about Sam. I tried it back, I'd say, like PS3 days. One of my buddies that I played Destiny with suggested it to me, and I thought it was really weird. I don't remember. It's been a while. Obviously, I mean, PS3's been, 7-8 years now?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I first watched it, I had a buddy of mine, Patrick, who watched it, and he really thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's weirdly, really, really awesome, in my opinion, because, not necessarily a power that the main guy has, but, like, his main thing is that he fucking throws anything.
Huh.
He'll throw, lampposts and shit like that. He'll throw people. And there's this one guy.
I remember something to do with, I remember something to do with a motorcycle being in it.
I think there was the girl with the. She had, the yellow cat helmet who didn't have a head.
Maybe.
Yeah, she was, the ghost motorcyclist chick or whatever. Yeah, there was a couple things going on. I didn't watch it all the way through. It's definitely one that I'll probably go back to. I didn't think it was bad, though. I thought it was pretty unique. I would definitely try and get to watch it here before too long, though.
Yeah, Craig said he's watching it now slowly, and he still doesn't know what to make of it. He says he's on episode 5, and it's still very weird.
Yeah, it's...
He said some of the people are super strong for no reason, and then there's supernatural elements in play as well, ? And he says, if you all have watched it, was it worth the complete watch through? Well, I don't know, and Sam hasn't finished it.
Yeah. What about you, Corey? Have you seen it?
I've not, but I'm really interested.
Yeah. And he said, honestly, what's kept me interested so far is that he really likes the voice actors that are in it.
Yeah, I mean, they did a really good job on it. They definitely put some effort into the anime itself.
Craig enjoyed being our co-host for our first episode, and he was inspired by it, and he actually started his own podcast, and it's called Gameway Cafe. Of course, it's on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, whatever, the whole nine, just like ours is. Go ahead and give it a follow. It's his logo, it's a Nintendo controller, and it's leaning up against a coffee mug. It's pretty good. I've listened to every episode, I think, except for one. He had one episode about Animal Crossing, and I just didn't like that game, so I skipped it.
But how dare you!
I know.
No.
All the Nintendo viewers are unfollow right now.
I'm unfollowing you. Yeah. I'm on the channel.
No, I jumped on the hype and I bought it, and it wasn't my cup of tea. I don't know. I like fast paced games, and that was a game. I mean, it was a relaxing game where you just fish and catch bugs and shit. Wasn't my cup of tea.
I'm sorry, I skipped over it for just a sec. You said Animal Crossing?
Yes.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, back whenever it came out on, the Nintendo GameCube and everything, I spent hours hours on that fucking game, and I have no idea why. It's like Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon, yeah. There's a little bit more stuff to do, but it was weirdly addicting.
Yeah, I really like fast-paced, like, action games, and it just didn't do it to me.
Run from those bees, man. That'll be fast-paced. Yeah, I did have two shout-outs, though.
Okay.
From people at work, I actually had a buddy of mine who added me on Facebook and then saw me share our podcast, and he's like, yeah, man, I didn't know you watched anime. I'm like, yeah, I'm all about that. So we started talking about it, and he actually brought the podcast up to me, and he was like, hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm really happy that other people watched Megalobox. And I don't know if you guys remember me talking about that a couple episodes back, but it was like a kind of like steampunkish, and not really steampunkish, like maybe industrial boxing type thing, where people have like exoskeleton like arms over top of their arms to help them punch and hit harder and everything. But the main character, he likes traditional boxing without them, and it's just kind of like a underdog type show. But it was really fucking cool. Anything that's to deal with any type of like martial arts, you know, I'm all about. Like I said in like the first couple episodes. But he also, my brother-in-law, I know I mentioned him before, Fred, he's telling me to watch Mob Psycho. And I've seen it a little bit. I think you said it earlier, TJ, said that it was the same artist as One Punch Man.
Yes, yeah, I watched, I'd say probably like 5 or 6 episodes of it, but I just was watching, I was trying to keep up with too many shows that was coming on, like new episodes
of
every
Mob
week.
Psycho? You watched
I watched like 5 or 6 episodes, and I did like it. But yeah, it was kind of the same as like Saitama, like the main character was just super OP for like no reason.
Like he sent me a link to like, I guess one of the fights. He's like the first time he went 100%, which I'm guessing, you know, he has percentages of how he can unlock his power or something.
Like casually throughout the episode, like as things happen, his mindset or whatever, like gradually increases. And then once it gets full, he like explodes with power, I guess. Mean, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No,
so like 100%. Everyone watch out. He just explodes. And it was like, that's
really basically how it is. Like, he just explodes and just goes ham and fucks everything up.
So would he be extremely similar to that green haired chick from One Punch Man?
Kind of.
I guess more intense version.
Her powers are like that, but the animation is like very psychedelic. I don't really know how to explain it. You just have to watch it and experience it for yourself.
Yeah, I'll probably watch
it. It's like very fast moving and like a lot of colors. Like if you have seizures easily, I would not watch it.
Like that one episode of Pokemon that got taken down.
Yeah. We'll like if you're epileptic, it is rough.
Pikachu, use Thunderbolt in 5 different colors really fast.
Yeah.
Like we're trying to
have a stroke.
Fucking rave Pikachu comes out.
So, we're going to go ahead and go on to the next one. So, since this is Corey's first episode, we kind of wanted to do like a little introduction for him, kind of like we did in our first episode, where we kind of talked about what kind of shows we like to watch. And this will probably be something we'll do for every new guest that we have. So Corey's going to tell us a little bit about like what genre of anime he prefers, what his favorite show is, stuff like that. If you want to go ahead and just talk about yourself a little bit, bask us in your glory.
Oh, I greatly appreciate it, good sir. So I'll start off with the favorite genre I like to watch. I prefer like a mystery thriller slash like also with action. So we're talking like Case Closed, Death Note, you know, Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, My Hero Academia. So I mean, those are my few favorite genres: are action and mystery thriller.
Is a Case Closed actually? Isn't it still ongoing, or at least the manga is? I think.
Yeah, I think the manga is, but the show I'm not too sure about. I haven't watched.
Yeah, I think the manga is like one of the like I think it's in like the top 5 or 10 of the longest ongoing mangas.
Yeah,
that's like crazy.
I don't know if I've heard of that one or not.
Case Closed?
Yeah, I don't think I have.
It's about the little kid with the glasses who's a super detective.
Oh my, hold on, no.
I mean, I've never, it's not something in my genre. I've never pursued a mystery anime.
Okay, but did you like Death Note, right?
Yes, I love Death Note.
It's nowhere similar,
but I mean. Death Note was fantastic. It's one of my favorites. So but, maybe I'll have to give it a shot.
Okay. Well, yeah, you need, yeah,
I'm not shutting it down, man. That's what this is about.
Tell them a little bit about Case Closed.
Yeah.
So pretty much a guy gets turned to a kid through, I can't remember, there's like some sort of like, he got like magic cast on him or something, Sam, was that right?
Oh man, you're asking the wrong guy. I just know. Oh, I know my. that it's long.
Look,
I know
that he
it's
hasn't
long.
Watched
like,
it either.
Like One Piece.
Pretty much, it's just a show. It's like a show where he solves crimes, but they think he's a kid. So pretty much, he turns into a kid. He has to live his like whole childhood all over again. Well, not really all over again. But he has to go to school and stuff.
Okay, so he was an adult, and
he got
starting
into,
over as a child. Okay.
Yeah, he got like something. I guess I can't remember. It was some sort of magic spell or something. And he got turned into a kid, and he went through school, and now he's like solving crimes. But like as a kid, they really don't know this. He's accidentally like he's kind of like
who stole my apple juice?
Yeah, pretty. Yeah. So like he would go to these cases, and then like he would kind of like show off the clues of like what's going on. So like he'd kind of give the adults kind of like a hand of some sort. But I mean, it's a good show overall. I mean, you need to watch it for sure.
That sounds
kind of
interesting.
It's definitely good '90s.
Good 90s.
Yeah,
definitely good '90s. Toonami at the time. Favorite animes. I'm gonna go with Zoids being my number one, hands down.
Fucking Zoids, man. That's
Zoids.
That's
hands down.
Right,
hands. Because like that. Yeah. If I had to be stuck on an island, Zoids would be my preferred show.
Now, which series of Zoids? Because I think Chaotic Century was my favorite.
Ooh, that's a good one. I have to agree with that one, honestly.
With Zeke?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Toonami on that one real good, too.
I'm looking it up right now. I remember this show, like, very vaguely. I don't really remember, like, any of the story or anything, but the characters look super familiar.
Think of Gundams, but in animal form.
Yeah.
People fuck each other up.
Honestly, right off the bat, I'm thinking of Transformers, the Beast Wars. I think is what it was called.
Yeah. West Coast,
but,
yeah. I would definitely love
it. There's a Zoids game on the Switch, just saying, Corey. So
no, really?
Yeah,
like right now?
Zoids Wild, yeah. I just fucking looked it up.
Is it like, no, it's out right now, or no?
I believe so. We'll talk about it later, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're sorry. It happens a lot. We get sidetracked a lot in here.
Okay, all right. Because, yeah. Anyway, Zoids, also, I just want to say this. I also prefer Cyborg 009. I don't know if y'all remember that. It's like,
yes. He had an ability where he could
slow down time. He could accelerate his body so quick. Like he clicks a button in the back of his mouth or something, and he like accelerates so fast that he slowed down time.
Picks up his mouth right on.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty dope.
Now, isn't there a show where it's Cyborg 009 versus Devilman?
Devilman, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a movie. I think it's like an hour special or whatever.
That was a pretty intensely weird movie.
Yeah. A lot of people have suggested Devilman to me, but I never watched it. But I was kind of looking at like a list of like dark, gory animes because, you know, that's what I prefer. And it popped up on there. So I might give that a shot here in the future.
Yeah. I think that Cyborg versus the Devilman, wasn't that like that 3D animation style?
Yeah, I think it's like a Netflix original, I believe.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is, but I mean, it wasn't bad. Like I know of Cyborg 009 and I don't dislike it. I just haven't watched a lot of it.
Rurouni Kenshin? We'll Google that. What's that?
Oh yeah, man. Rurouni Kenshin. What was it? What was he before that? Samurai X? Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, yeah. Dude, oh man, that show was so good. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, keep going.
So, and then do you prefer dubbed or subbed?
Okay, so I'm a mixed person about this, honestly. When it comes to mix, I think there's only two that would watch mix, and that's more for the dub side, is Dragon Ball Z and Naruto. Those are the only two I feel like mix well, like even with the dubbed and sub, like it sounds great. You know, the sub and dub's great. I mean, it's just overall great actors that, you know, they put into it. So, like, in my opinion, best. Now, I believe subs for everything else. Like, I feel like, say you watch Death Note, you know, Death Note, well, I guess Death Note's only Japanese, but, no, was it English, too? I can't remember.
Was it English?
Okay. I watched it in Japanese, I don't know. I watched
talking about the Death Note live action, or, like,
no, anime, anime.
Nobody talks about the live action scene. We've been over
this.
No. Do you not know about the three other live actions that were actually made with like Japanese cast?
Oh, really? No, I didn't.
You don't know about that?
No.
No, what?
Yeah, there were. I believe there was two. It was either one and two. There was a second one. It was L's last 23 days. They did a live action what he did with the last 23 days. I see it.
Ooh.
Dude, it was fucking awesome. Dude, he pulls like straight ninja move. Like these people are like trying to take over the building that he's in. And they have a gun pulled on him. He throws something and like disables their arm, like fucking ninja style. And dude, like for real, you need to look up. I'll send you a link to it. I used to have them, and I used to watch all the time. They are really good. Oh yeah, you really need to
be that link. Sure.
I think I'm gonna be watching that this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's loosely based on like. I mean, it's been a minute. It's not exactly pinpoint to the actual anime, but they did really well. Yeah. And it strays in itself, but even though they're different, they're both really, really good. I promise you, man. Like they're awesome. Huh. The last 23 days of L was probably my favorite, though.
Okay.
But yeah Netflix is adaptation. Fuck that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. We don't talk about that monstrosity.
I don't even know. My ears can't even comprehend what you're saying, sir.
Yeah.
So now that you guys have gotten to know Corey a little bit, we're going to move on a little bit. We don't have a whole lot for anime news. Nothing's really happened too much this week. The hit show Fire Force has a season 2 coming out like next week, July 3rd. Yeah, next Friday. So that's pretty good.
Fight scenes in that are just beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't finish it. I was watching Black Clover, My Hero... Can't remember. There was like four or five shows that were having episodes weekly come out whenever that was airing. So I kind of had to drop some. I couldn't keep up with all of them, but I actually checked the other day, and I think I watched 12 episodes, and there's 24 total. So I'm like half the season. So I'll probably go finish that here soon. And then the other one is I'm sure by now everybody has heard about the game Cyberpunk 2077. That is coming out.
Anime, isn't it?
Yes, it's coming out in the game is coming out in November, and they just announced last week that there's going to be an anime based off of the game coming out in 2022.
Fucking
yeah, and I believe it was going to be a Netflix original as well. So you know everybody's going to know. Everybody's
going to
watch it.
There we go. Cyberpunk's turn to Persona. It's going to happen, dude.
Yeah. Hey.
It's going to be a crap show, but hey.
Yeah. Hey, who knows, man? I mean, look at like Castlevania. Netflix did a fantastic job with it.
Dude, Castlevania was fucking amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a Devil May Cry anime too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that one was weird.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. It wasn't awful though. I mean, it stuck to the core subjects of the
thing that killed me the most about the Devil May Cry anime was what they did with Dante's fucking sideburns.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was fucking weird. Like, honestly, like, if I could have any complaint, it's the fucking sideburns, man. Like, needs to get his ears lowered or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's all we have for anime news this week. And, hopefully we'll have a little bit more to go off of next rotation.
How far are you into Black Clover? I know you just mentioned it a second ago, but I just want
to know. I don't want to like spoil too much. The elves were back, and I watched like I was like in the middle of that arc, and I was like starting to get bored. I feel like the elves just talked for like every episode, and it was kind of annoying me.
So you've seen Mario Leona Vermilion? You've seen her, the Crimson Lion?
Yes, yes,
lady. The undefeated lioness. Yeah,
yeah, she's a monster,
dude. Like I'm telling you.
I think we
top five favorite anime chicks. She's up there.
Yeah, she's a badass.
Fucking monster.
So, moving on to our rotating subject this week. This is one that I kind of had in my pocket from the very beginning, just because it's something that pops up so often in conversation, and we're probably gonna get a lot of shit for this, but we're gonna do verses where we pin up two iconic characters that are similar. And talked about who we think would win in a fight. So I'm going to just go right in with the heavy hitter that is probably the number one versus combination out there. And I'm just going to start it with Goku versus Saitama.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Superman.
No.
Excuse me? All right, what?
We'll talk about that conversation after.
No. How? Okay, all right.
I mean,
people have a fucking aneurysm listening to that conversation.
Listen, yeah. If it was all three of them against each other, that'd be an interesting fight. Okay.
Yeah.
I personally think Saitama would smash Goku. I know all the Dragon Ball Z fanboys are gonna be raging in the comments of this, but
so have you seen Anime Wars on YouTube?
I have not.
So pretty much, it's a guy that drew up fights against people from other universes, and he's made one of Saitama versus Goku. And it's interesting. I actually haven't watched the full fight. I was actually watching it while waiting. But it looks really good. But I mean, he said apparently Funimation allowed it. Like, they had a contract with him at one point, and it was actually going to be a whole series. But then they took it apart. Oh yeah, it wasn't public, but it was going to be like, but it was on YouTube. But pretty much, they denied him after, like, they made one with him, a deal, and then they just took it right back, pretty much.
Huh. That sounds interesting, though. There's a series called Bat in the Sun, and they go to like Comic Cons, and then they'll, like, whenever they're planning an episode, they'll do like a poll or whatever. They'll go around and just ask people who they think would win.
And they go based off of
and,
that.
Yeah, and then they'll go based off of that, how the outcome of the fight is, and then they'll have like two actors or cosplayers dress up as those characters and have them fight, and some of them are actually pretty fucking dope.
What was one of them? They had Nightwing versus Gambit, I think.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Huge Nightwing fan.
There was, I think, the Green Power Ranger versus Ryu from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And Scorpion versus the White Ranger was one.
Same guy, but whatever.
Different personas, and they actually had Jason David Frank, who played Tommy Oliver in the original Power Rangers, play the Green and White Ranger, which is pretty fucking awesome, honestly.
Yeah,
that is pretty nice.
Let's see.
But no, I don't know Saitama's like actual limits. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing. Nobody does.
Exactly. So, like, I don't. I would have to say Saitama on it. Like, I'm a huge DBZ fan. You know, like, I love Dragon Ball Z. But because of that, you know, I can admit its faults and everything, but, like, Saitama would win. We don't know his capabilities. He hasn't shown us anything close.
We know Goku is on a godly level, of course. Mm-hmm. And we can't really, I guess, compare Saitama in that sense because he doesn't fight gods.
I mean, typically you're saying, like, you're talking about Goku, like a god. Like, I mean, his power is pretty much unlimited against Saitama.
Well, I wouldn't say unlimited, because he loses all the time. In the Tournament of Power, even him and Golden Frieza couldn't overpower Jiren. So he's got a limit,
I mean, he can go into god mode. He got his ass handed to him by Broly in god mode.
And
Vegeta.
And my trump card on this one is whenever Goku travels to other planets, he has to use a spaceship. Saitama got kicked to the fucking moon and jumped back to Earth, okay? He jumped right through the fucking astral plane all the way back to fucking Earth.
So, I mean, that is pretty... like, I need to do more research on, like, Saitama himself.
If that is,
he's a parody
god
character.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, his whole gimmick is just being OP.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I think something like that would be like, what would it be? Genos from Saitama from One Punch Man.
Yeah.
Versus Ariel from Dragon Ball. Ariel is fucking OP. I don't know if you know too much about her.
I'm drawing a blank on who the character is.
She's that really short girl. That was an android. She has the
okay, I know what you're talking
she
about.
She is OP. Like, she made a she made an appearance in Super, and even Goku was afraid of her, and he was like, oh shit, I remember her, and he was fucking scared, you know.
I remember, like, looking at her and stuff, but I don't really remember much about that episode. I just remember it was like a filler episode, and she was in one episode.
Yeah.
Since you brought up Genos while we're on the topic, I was kind of just doing a little bit of research and just trying to get some good ideas that we could talk about. Not, I didn't look at, like, reasons why the characters would win, just, like...
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I came across of was Android 17 versus Genos.
Hmm. Like Dragon Ball Super arc?
Let's go full peak, like, as they sit right now.
Yeah, at their strongest forms. I think Android 17 would probably take that one.
Yeah, because I mean, technically, in that, like in that universe, I mean, the androids, he doesn't, he has an unlimited supply of energy in Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
like he has no cap, you know. Whereas Genos, like he has, I mean, you know, regardless, his like capability is really fucking high, and he can, you know, fight for a while and extremely powerful. I mean, his fight against Sea King was OP as fuck.
I will say though, during the training session with Genos and Saitama, dude, the animation on Genos, like when his like backs and shit opened up for like the rockets, dude, that shit was like hands down some of the crispest animation I've ever seen.
See, like whenever I watched One Punch Man for a while, like I haven't seen it in a while, so like I'm, when it comes to like data on One Punch Man, I'm way behind. But
you see season one release, right?
No, there's there's season, there's a second season.
I know what I'm saying. Has he seen the full first season?
Yeah, I believe so. Anyways, but like
at the end, he fights the big alien guy. That
Okay, but I mainly watched One Punch Man. I almost said One Piece. One Punch Man for the side characters, like that. That I love. Oh, the absolutely, side characters.
Yeah. The main character is just for like comedy, but I mean, Genos is arguably probably the main. The main character in the show, really.
Him and, oh, Supersonic?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ninja Sonic. Dude.
Okay, yeah. He's pretty cool, too. He's ooh, more of, like, a comedic character as well. Like, when Saitama punched him in the dick. Iconic.
That's, remember the scene where, like, Saitama, like, bit his fucking blade? Like, that shit had me cracked up so fucking hard. Like, he was just, you know, blank face, like, stupid Saitama look on his face, and then like in a half a millisecond went to like serious mode and bit his fucking blade. I'm like, what the fuck?
Do you guys have any characters?
All right, anyways,
Do you guys have any characters you'd like to put up against each other?
How about Urza Scarlet versus Zoro? Sword fight Urza. Only, Strayla.
I have not...
sword fight only though. No, like straight sword action. No, nothing else.
I have not watched One Piece, so I can't really weigh in too much.
If we're just going like she can only pick like one set of weapons, like no, like switching out,
like just compared like just two handed weapons, like two swords or something like that, like sword just straight up.
I would have to go with the Urza Scarlet. I forgot the name of the actual weapon set is, but where she pretty much goes into samurai mode, I think that would be the best matchup between the two. But I think, I don't know, because Zoro can be extremely like patient, I guess you could say, but he's also extremely aggressive. Like Zoro is an extremely good swordsman. I would want to say Zoro, and I'm gonna say Zoro, mainly because he focuses solely on the three sword style and he's dedicated his life to that, whereas Urza Scarlet, she does multiple and she more so relies on the power of the sets, I guess you could say. She's still a capable swordsman. I'm not saying she's a bad swords person, you know what I mean, but I think between the two, Zoro would win.
Okay, I mean that's fine. I can't really weigh in.
I mean, that's thrown up in the air. I mean, yeah, I mean that's because it's a real hard. That's a real hard fight. Let's be honest. I mean, if Urza had all access to her full weapon capacity, then Zoro would have zero chance. I mean,
I would say that because when you're saying just straight sword fight,
right?
I'm thinking he can't use his hockey.
Okay, let's go with everything then. What do you think then? I mean, that's what I was saying at first, but now I'm thinking, like, even with, like, if they were able to use everything, that would still be an intense fight.
Yeah, if they could use everything, and I don't, like I said, I don't know Zoro's ability, but Urza has her Heaven's Will armor. She can summon over 200 swords at once and launch them at her enemy.
Yeah,
it's going to be kind of hard to dodge that.
Yeah, but I got to look.
But like I said, I don't know. Like I said, I can't weigh in.
Get up real quick. I know Zoro. Like I said, I've been so far behind on everything. Well, I mean, yeah. Abilities. There we go. So I know Zoro has some haki abilities. I know he doesn't have. Yeah, he has three. Can only use the haki, which allows Zoro to sense the presence of other people, predict enemy attacks. Mm-hmm. He can see through. Yeah, but there's a couple.
Like foreshadow.
He's got some really. He's got really good ones. Yeah. Man, I mean, he can He can slice through steel like nothing.
Yeah.
Even though they're magical weapons, 200 blades. I mean, seeing the shit that Zoro does, full power as of right now, I think. See, that's hard to say because like Ezra has a suit of armor for literally almost every situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was that one woman who literally pretty much destroyed all of her suits of armor, or had a counter for him every single time, and then she switched to that.
It was like she went through a bunch. It was like an ill-equipped match.
So I'm thinking Zoro could beat the woman that countered all of her stuff. I think Zoro would still win. If he had, you know, all of his haki abilities and he was going full power and everything, I still think he would probably win.
I was right there with you on Zoro, but I don't know.
But who looks better? I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, Urza by far, bro.
Oh, shit.
We gonna get into fan?
No. I was just making a joke.
I know we can go there.
Let's see. All right, I got one. Captain Hitsugaya from Bleach. He's the young captain with the white hair that uses like ice abilities.
Yeah.
Versus Gray Fool Buster from Fairy Tail. For this one, I'm gonna go Gray. Mostly because have you guys finished Fairy Tail?
Yeah,
I mean I'm very well of like Grateful Buster's abilities, but
well he gets like the devil eyes, is that what yeah he gets about? he gets a demon slayer magic, and it's basically like his power on steroids. I mean Hitsugaya is badass. He was probably one of my favorite characters in Bleach, but Grateful Buster, he could literally create anything with ice.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to give it to Full Buster, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, majority vote Full Buster, but I honestly, personally, don't have a full understanding of all of his guy's powers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You also got to think that even with his ice powers, Hitsugaya, they probably know the what are they called? They have like it's like they use like talismans and stuff like that. They have powers like that.
Yeah, they unlock their full potential or whatever is what they called it.
Well, full potential, and so I guess you can call them kind of like magic spells. Yeah. I guess
Kidos.
Kidos, yeah. Thank you, thank you so much. So I mean, I'm sure with how dedicated and how you know Hitsugaya is and everything.
Well,
I'm thinking he knows a few of those that he would probably know as far as like his weaknesses, and he would use them to counter.
Well, regardless, Gray has that fucking shield move that he tried to use in every damn tough fight he got into. the one that, like, kills or traps him as well, that his master used on the demon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Better kill myself.
Yeah. Literally every fight towards, like, the middle of the show, he tried to use that move, and then Natu or Urza or whatever would show up and, like, prevent him from using it. But it was getting so fucking annoying.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'll say Zoro. I'll say Full Buster.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Zoro for the win. I'll say Full Buster just mainly because I mean I don't have a full understanding of Hitsugaya's powers.
Yeah.
So
you guys got.
I know that's kind of like a cop out answer, but. Yeah. I mean, I can't say anything else.
Yeah. I've got a few more written down, but I don't want to like take all the spotlight. So if you guys got anything, good,
I go. Yeah, I believe it's your turn, anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The next one I have on my list is Ichigo from Bleach versus Asta from Black Clover.
Fuck, man. I think I even
as they are now. Yeah, I know. Same's gonna say Ichigo is probably related to whatever demon is in Asta's sword.
But he has a point.
He does have a valid point.
Yeah, some few hundred fucking years ago, Ichigo's ancestor fucked a demon, and you know, he has some form of demon power, and he can somehow use the same power. And
low key, the hollow inside of him is Asta's demon's daddy.
Yeah, yeah. Son, get back to your... No, I'm
just... No. I think as they are, I mean, and Ichigo. Asta, dude, Asta, I will say about Black Clover, it has some of the best combo fights, like, hands down. Yeah. But in Asta, I mean, it, his body is, like, toned to perfection, I guess. But Ichigo, dude, he can, like, when he fought, what's the big guy with the Kenpachi?
Kenpachi?
The ejective sword, yeah. When he fought Kenpachi the first time, Kenpachi beat the living shit out of him, and he would not stay down. He kept getting back up, and then of course, I mean,
it's an anime character.
Character. But it was still impressive though, regardless.
Yeah, well, I mean, you also got to think like Asta may have the like natural prowess and whatnot, but like I mean, he's got a big sword. He doesn't really know, like,
he doesn't know
actual swords.
That is another thing that has bugged the shit out of me. I mean, there's how many episodes of Black Clover now, and his swords are still fucking filthy. Wash your goddamn sword, Asta.
No, that's a part of the aesthetic, man. No, fuck that.
But it looks ridiculous. If I get a big ass sword that's my magic, I'm a baby. I mean, I'm gonna use it for fighting, but I'm gonna polish that some bitch. I'm gonna oil it, whatever it takes, dude. I'm gonna make that thing look nice.
No, I would have to go with Ichigo if he had all of his powers up until the ending and everything.
Yeah, until I would have to say Ichigo. Until he didn't have his powers.
Exactly, and then he got him back.
Spoiler, yes. Spoiler with no context.
Okay.
I mean, he was basically a god at that point, really.
Yeah. You know what's bad is like I even thought about. I was like before this, I was like, you know, I might give Bleach another try, and then like after just sitting here and just talking about it just now, I was like, no, fuck that, I'm good.
It's like Naruto. Like if you power through the fillers or skip the fillers. It's solid. I have zero regrets about watching all 300-something episodes of Bleach or whatever there is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still, I don't want to say, like, one of my favorites, but, like, the main arcs, like, especially the first couple arcs, dude, whenever he fought Rukia's brother and he used his Bankai, his Bankai for the first time, and he fucking first put the Hollow Mask on, dude, that was beautiful. It was so, dude... It was one of the best fight scenes, honestly, in my opinion, of course.
Yeah.
Another one I have on the list is Natsu versus Todoroki from My Hero.
Natsu.
Icy Hot. Yeah, I would go, as they are now in the show, I would go Icy Hot, or I would go Natsu as well. That's what I call him. That's my nickname for Todoroki's Icy Hot.
I would mainly go Natsu. Like, I know, I almost said fucking Icy Hot, goddamn it.
We're going to start calling him that from now on.
Todoroki. I mean, I know he's mainly going to try and focus on his ice powers, but even with magic ice, at least at Todoroki's level, because it's not necessarily magic ice. You know what I mean? It's ice created magically. You know
the
difference?
Also, every time Todoroki tried to throw fire at him, Natsu would just eat it and get stronger.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know, he would be like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to use my, you know, flashpoint fire move. And then he's just going to be like, pull a fucking Kirby on him.
No dissing on Todoroki. He's my favorite character in
I mean, worst case scenario, like, say, you know, he got the upper hand on Natsu. Natsu would just devour the ice. And just be like, okay, well, I'll be sick afterwards, but I'm going to go OP and go fire ice.
Go shoot some fire ice.
Okay, yeah. Well, what about Natsu versus, like, Ichigo?
Those are two different completely, like, spectrums of power.
Yeah, they're not even... I mean, we could do it, though.
I would have to go with Ichigo. Like, he's got some powerful moves, Natsu does.
Yeah.
But I mean,
Ichigo full power. Like I stated a minute ago, he during his final fight, he's pretty much a god.
Yeah, well, I mean, like just think about like his I mean, he's got some really powerful like long range moves, like Getsugo Tensho. Wasn't that the name of it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, he could probably dodge that. Not too good. He's a good fighter, but then you got to think, like, in that fight with Aizen, that final fight with Aizen and everything, you know, just the clash of their swords destroyed mountains. And that was the access force off of Ichigo's sword.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even him really trying. So, I mean, Natsu's powerful, but I think if Ichigo was just like, hey, I need to kill this guy,
he'd pierce him 8 times
before he had a chance.
Yeah, it's a different power spectrum, different limits.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That was a lot more than I thought I was going to get from that answer.
Yeah. That would be like Goku versus Natsu or something. Like, not that Ichigo's quite at Goku's level, but just for a spectrum.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else on me?
Kirito versus Eren.
Eren who?
Eren Jaeger?
Jaeger.
Oh, Eren would turn into a titan and stomp Kirito. He'd fucking eat him, dude.
Well, okay, what if it wasn't with...
Eren's not a titan, he's just a fucking... Okay, so with a sword that's crying in the corner.
You're talking about Kirito while he's in the anime, right? Like while he's in the game, right? Is what I'm assuming. Yeah. At peak power.
At peak, yeah. All of these are at peak.
Yeah, so I mean, like he, it would have to be Eren. Like, like he's got full movement. It's not like one of those things where like, oh, he's a big giant person, so he moves slower. No, he's fucking got giant muscles. And then, he moves giantly fast. He's fucking gonna stomp your ass.
I mean, and then even if Kirito knocked beat Eren as a Titan, he would still have to fight Eren as a human too. Yeah, he would just come out of his neck, and then he'd be good to go.
Yeah, I mean, he's still pretty fucking agile with that shit. And he would have to understand where to strike to, and I don't think Kirito knows that.
Yeah.
And plus regeneration. And
that was a pretty good one, though. That's the one I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah. I think Eren, though.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like him.
Yeah. I think the concept of that anime is beautiful. Obviously the Titans look immaculate and their fighting is immaculate, but Eren, and I'm probably gonna get a lot of shit because I love Deku and My Hero and he cries a lot, but Eren cries so fucking much.
That dude, I stopped watching the anime because of fucking Eren.
Yeah.
I maybe the next season will be better.
Yeah. Well, see, the next season looks fantastic.
Yeah. TJ told me about the new trailer. I was like, I'll check it out. And like, watching the series now, just so I could be caught to watch
the next season. The previews are
fucking titans walking around like Indian war elephants with guns on their fucking back. Like, dude, count me the fuck in.
Hollow Titan.
Calling off work.
You guys got any more here? You guys want to go on to the next one?
Okay, wait. Are you all familiar who Crocodile is from One Piece?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. Turns into sand, right?
Yeah, so him versus him versus Gaara.
Before or after his tailed beast was extracted.
Fuck, dude.
At peak.
Okay, at peak. So that's
well, before. Actually, that's kind of hard still because he becomes really fucking powerful afterwards.
But he wouldn't be that nowhere near as strong as he would with the tailed beast. I feel like the tailed beast would be stronger.
You know, I would have to go with Gaara, hands down. Because he's got a whole bunch of shit he could do. I mean, he could do, like, the coffin and whatnot, but, well, Crocodile can actually turn into sand.
Yeah, he's turning sand.
He can turn
into
sand.
So he can literally become one with his sand.
He can, but then that means Gaara can control him.
Oh.
With chakra.
Oh, you're right.
Like, anytime he tries to, like, phase any part, like, if he tried to, like, let something pass through him in like sand form, Gaara would just be like, rip that part out of him. Guess what? You got like a giant hole in your chest now.
Mind blown. I didn't think about that.
He could refuse him to, I guess, change into sand form, which means he would have to take actual damage, in which case Gaara would whoop his ass.
Hell yeah, dude.
Like, I think even as an angry, angsty teenager, he could do it.
I don't know who Crocodile is.
We're not gonna Dundee? Talk about Crocodile Dundee?
You don't know.
Yeah. Steve Irwin?
I lost him. Oh,
yeah.
Whoa. Where did this conversation just go?
I don't know.
Now we're all sad.
I know this is all sucks.
All right. I don't know. I'll come up with a couple fights for next time, though. Like, I'll definitely have a couple to talk about. I think there'll be some pretty fun ones.
All right. Jotaro Kujo versus the main character from Shaman King.
Oh, man, don't do that. I don't fucking know that shit. Well, I mean, in JoJo, don't, like, the stances, like, don't they, like, subconsciously protect the person regardless?
Oh, man. Dude, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, Jotaro, because of the fight with Dio. And I knew
you were going to fucking say Dio.
I cannot fucking tell you why, because it would spoil so much of the anime. But
man,
I'm just going to tell you, Jotaro, first off, he's OP the whole show. But when he fights Dio, he's like quadruple OP, okay? Yeah.
I've seen like small clips and everything, and don't get me wrong, there's some funny bits, but like,
oh my god.
Yeah, see, like,
holy shit!
I'm gonna have to fucking buckle down and watch this show.
Dude, do it. I promise. Dude, I pushed it off because I thought it looked goofy too, and then I felt left out during D&D, and I watched it, and I mean, it made my top five.
But definitely made you laugh a ton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dude, the episode when the chick that had the electrical outlet stand.
Yes.
And they were in the desert and fucking old man JoJo, Joseph. Dude, whenever he was talking about shitting in the desert.
I was just seeing in my head, dude.
Dude, they were in the desert. And the toilet was literally just a hole that you shit in. And whenever Joseph saw it, he was like, oh my god! And then they were talking about how they didn't have to like flush or anything because the poop would just disappear and evaporate into the sand. And then it showed the turd like evaporate with the sand and turn into sand and blow off. And he was like, oh my god!
What the fuck?
He did it like five times, like in the first 5 minutes of the show.
And like I saw a collab of like every single time he said that.
Yeah, yeah. There's like and a like, dude, like collage on.
Yeah, YouTube. Fucking me and my wife. Like we just died of laughter. He said like, "Oh my god, holy shit!" What was another one?
Yeah, I think those are the two.
Yeah, there's only two.
Two big
like, really
ones.
Really does a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. And I watched it in Japanese. And there's no, like, Japanese translation for that phrase. So the whole show is in Japanese, and then he would just say that in perfect fucking English. And it just made it stand out so much more.
Oh, fuck.
I loved it. It was hilarious.
Fuck.
But I think that's a good stopping point on that. We'll go ahead, we'll go ahead and skip over. So, for those of you that don't know, I meant to mention this earlier in the show during the introduction. Sam is actually getting ready to leave for the Air Force. He just took all of his physical tests and all that shit. I kind of want to leave it up to you guys, kind of get the listeners' opinions about either getting a permanent co-host, maybe having a third co-host that we could go ahead and like bring in maybe the next episode or something permanently. And when Sam leaves, it'll just be the two of us and maybe a guest. Or if you guys think it would be better for me to just have different guests on every episode and just be me and guests. I personally think it would be better to either find a permanent like a third permanent co-host. That way I'm not alone. R.I.P.
Darkness.
But yeah, I would just kind of like to hear the fans or the listeners' opinions. But that being said, Sam has been busy this week doing his training and all that stuff. So he did not get to finish all 12 episodes of Hitori no Shita, which is the next topic we're going to talk about. And then he also didn't have time to watch a fan-recommended anime. But you watched, what, 8 episodes out of the 12? You said it was on episode 20?
Yeah, I got to episode 19, 20, something like that. I got to the point where him and that Zensei chick were in the forest together.
Okay, where he rescued her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I jotted a few things down. This kind of helped me remember names a little bit. So one of the first things I wrote down was when Rikuken, which was one of the elders, whenever he started going angry, and his eyes got like red and glowy and shit. Like he was strong as fuck during that.
Oh, we jumping far. Point. We jumping that far into this.
Well, okay. That's just where I kind of started taking notes, man. I guess we need to talk about the fight with
him and Cho.
Yeah, Black Lightning and Cho. Black Lightning. What the fuck? My nickname is sued. No, I'm joking. Sorry, WB. I mean, I was really excited to see Cho fight in the tournament for the first time, but I was kind of disappointed in that particular fight.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I first showed you like those clippets from season 3, like the fighting animation was just so fucking clean, dude. Like it was so amazing.
And this one, I mean, it still has its moments right now.
Yeah.
Like it's but still like
this
good.
Is very like power, like relying on power-esque. And it's very Dragon Ball Z fighting-esque, where they're super fast. People can't really see them.
Yeah.
Few clashes here and there. you know, shit like that. But
yeah,
I think all in all, it was nice to see Saran's, or Cho's, like...
Yeah, he finally did something useful.
And then he developed his own form of that electric move. I forgot what the name of it is, but, like, he developed his own form and was able to form that, like tracking snake.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then that he can like teleport with it as well was pretty interesting. Like,
it was pretty fucking dope. One thing that really kind of surprised me is that
that Reggie could turn into.
Yeah, Reggie.
That's Reggie, what we nicknamed him as last time.
Black Lightning.
Right. Black Lightning Fuck Reggie. Yeah.
But that goo weird, stuff he did, like, at first, I thought it was just like, okay, he can send it out throughout his body, but then, like, he covered the entire arena and the shit, and then he could pretty much teleport through that.
Yeah, and then like, if it touched you, didn't it, like, drained your energy or something, didn't it?
Yeah, like, something but, like that's like a poison.
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to point out, that it had, like, zero effect on Cho.
Well, I think that was because of his enlightened state, because he mastered that lightning state. Like, I forgot what the fucking name of it is, and I feel like a shit host for not fucking knowing what it is.
Yeah, and they like, kind of like, it was like yin and yang, and they kind of counterbalance each other or whatever.
Exactly, like they were the perfect counterbalance to each other. Yeah, and you
know, I did think it was interesting that they pointed out that the reason Reg's lightning was black was because he was tainted, and then it was revealed that he was actually sleeping with the big titty chick from the Zensei group.
Yeah,
who has the lust powers. Yeah.
And you know, honestly, up until I didn't get to watch anymore, though, it kind of seems like she wasn't really a bad person.
Yeah, I kind of got that vibe too. She's kind of filling with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, like they loved each other. In a sense, and he because the Tenshi, the current Tenshi, whenever he was talking with Cho Saran and he was trying to pass on the power, one of the conversations, because for some odd reason, he hasn't been able to pass on the power to him. And I think he said it was like a problem with Cho being able to accept it, I think is the main reason, right? And one of the things he said, you know, oh, you know, are you worried that it's going to limit your life? And he says, don't worry, you can even have a wife, you can have kids, you can do et cetera, et cetera. You know, pretty much have a normal life, just be dedicated to this.
Well, he said Cho wasn't willing to accept it. Yeah. And then at the end, and you haven't seen this part, but at the very end, Cho said that he had a feeling that if he accepted it, something would happen to him. Like something would happen, like it would lock his power, his ability to use that move or something.
Oh, the one that his grandpa left.
Yeah, the Kitajin style. He said it would like lock that up.
So he has like some type of like instinct that it could potentially go wrong.
Yeah, that's why he wasn't accepting it.
Yeah, kind of like his grandpa left for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to kind of fall back into it and like waste his grandfather's legacy, I guess.
Yes, correct. That's kind of the vibe I was getting.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was interesting about that, just leading back into Ryokyoku, you know, even if he slept with that woman, it wasn't the fact that he slept with someone. It was the fact that he rejected the feelings. You know what I mean? Like an impure thing. And it was mainly because, you know, of the path that she took, he was more so, what's the word for it? He was more so upset with himself because of all that.
Yeah, you know yeah. I mean?
Because and that's what caused him to go impure. Not that he's a bad person, just that his he has doubt. He has regret, stuff like that.
That makes more sense, because, I mean, the fact that the elder Tenshi guy told Cho that if he accepted the Tenshi, that he would still be able to have a wife and have kids, would mean that he could sleep with a woman, and would mean he could do it without tainting himself.
Yeah, so that's not the issue.
Yeah.
So I think it's solely because
it's a mind block.
Exactly. Basically. It's all him. He hasn't fully accepted himself, which I think him being around Cho is actually slowly getting him, just subconsciously getting him to accept himself, because they are literally yin and yang.
Huh. That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that.
That's just kind of how I felt it, based on the fucking conversation that they were having. Ryokyoku and the Zensei chick, whatever, right before the Tenshi showed up. That's kind of the vibe that I'm getting off of it. Because she wasn't angry. She was just more so upset that he became impure in the way he did. And that shows the fact that he regretted not necessarily her, but the path that she chose and what that reflected onto him.
Right.
I
have an emergency. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Are you good? But that's really just the biggest, like, vibe I got off of that. And honestly, like, he can't unlock that white lightning form. Like, he can't be pure anymore. Because, like, I think they said once you go to that impure section, like, you can't become perfect again. Like, pretty much you got to learn to be the best with the power you have. Not saying that power is, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's definitely strong and capable for sure.
Yeah, he's a fucking badass dude.
So whilst we're on the topic of him being impure, I can't remember if this was in the first week or the second week, but how do you feel about your little white haired goddess banging the arms master?
Oh bro, man, like, like, honestly, I think they're a good match. They're not going to be in my top favorite anime couples, mainly because, you know, that's he's taking a waifu from me, man.
She just wanted it to be like a one night thing, but I think over time they'll develop something.
I think her and his mom are going to like pick on him, and he's just going to be like devoted to her, like at her, you know, she's going to like it.
yeah.
And I think she's going to eventually just lean towards him.
So,
and I mean, she already has, so. So fucking left him money on the bed afterwards.
Trying to pay him like a whore. To switch gears, how do you feel about how strong the Tenshi is?
Fucking mind blown, man.
Dude, he's fucking crazy powerful.
Well, he's reached ultimate enlightenment.
Yes.
Hasn't he? Because, I mean, they talked about like the eyes and stuff like that. So.
Yes. Well, they also stated that there was a level above that, and it was called a wizard. He would become a wizard. And they said that he was not quite there yet. And then said that Cho was basically on that same level, but her abilities were like, they weren't like trained, they were like raw. Like almost like it was like instinctual, like, you know what I mean?
Like,
animalistic. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Wolverine.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, so going back to what you originally said about the old man, whenever he went into like that full hatred mode,
rage,
like that Buddha guy, he made a really good point. He said, you know, it's the most dangerous path, and it was, you know, probably the right path to take. He subconsciously restricted his emotions to do a certain thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, he did, like, one last spell or whatever to where it heightened his strength, and then he went into rage mode. So, like, he literally, like, 200% capped his fucking strength. And regrettably, I'm going to eventually watch it, but regrettably, I have not seen that fight yet, and I bet it's fucking okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll basically tell you. Like, basically, they, like, kind of beat the other guys into submission a little bit, and then they try to run away. And then the Tenshi shows up and calms him down.
Yeah, I figured it was going to be something like that.
Him and the Tenshi kind of go at it a little bit, though, and it's pretty cool. to see them like at web power, you know, using a
little. Do you see it, like Tenshi actually get to use a little bit of like martial arts, or is it really just like
it's more like power, like he shoots like some like, I don't want to say white or light tentacles, but like some like glowy gold aura, next, I guess, kind of comes hentai out of him. penetrates him from the rear. No. But yeah, and then the dude with the red eyes like kind of like stabs him in the chest with his hand, kinda, but it doesn't like penetrate enough to like do kill him or anything, do damage really.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Tenshi, bro.
But yeah, it was pretty cool.
I think more into his. I would like to learn more about his background.
Honestly. Yes, I want to learn what the Tenshi ability is. They did like, say that the truth about the war, the big war, could only be passed down to the different Tenshis at the end of the show, and that's why Cho can learn it. Also, he, in turning down the Tenshi, he also turned down learning that, so he couldn't really help Ho-Ho learn about her past.
Yeah, which is so kind
that,
of...
But at the end of the show, he promises that he's going to... He has a plan laid out, and he kind of explains it, which I'll let you...
Of course it is.
Yeah, I'll let you watch that and see that. But he kind of explains it, and basically he has a pretty good plan to like find something out about her past, which is pretty cool.
I want to know more about it.
Yeah, so he didn't like throw it away without considering, you know, coming, the consequences. Yeah, without coming up with a plan B. That's pretty cool. So did you see where the... there was the little kid that was a betrayer.
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, so one of the old men, he has like a secret or whatever, and his name is Grandmaster Den. He has a secret, and it kind of got a little confusing, the backstory on that part a little bit. So I'm probably not going to do a good job of explaining it. You just have to watch for yourself. But basically, he had a secret, and he was keeping it from the Tenshi. And because of that, he never slept. Like, he stayed awake permanently for ever since the war. It was something that happened in the war. He was supposed to be out hunting for a guy that knew something, and he actually found them and learned something from that guy that had to do with the war.
Yeah.
But he could not tell the Tenshi for some reason. We don't know why. And then later, he ran into a bad group, and they tortured him to try to get that information out of him, but he did not tell. That's why he's in a wheelchair, because he got tortured.
And he's the guy that kind of had, like, those reddish eyes, too, wasn't he?
They were, like, kind of, like, wrinkled up and, like, kind of closed a little bit, kind of like Brock from Pokemon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's why he was in a wheelchair, is because he had gotten tortured, but he does not sleep. Because he's scared he will whisper, or he will talk in his sleep, and the Tenshi will find out his secret. That's how committed he is to keeping this secret. It's pretty crazy. But anyway, apparently, like, his family had taken in a little boy who was actually working with Zenzi. And the little boy, like, betrayed him or whatever, and... Killed him, basically. Yeah, he kills the older man, and then disappears with Zenzi. But the old man begs him to kill him, like out of respect. He was gonna spare him because he had came to care for the old man. But the old man begged the boy to kill him. That way he could have peace and rest because he'd been awake this whole time. You know,
yeah.
Because he was tired of keeping that secret. So when the boy kills him and then leaves with Zensei. And then when the Tenshi shows up and sees that Grandmaster Den had died, Grandmaster Den had some guards, and he had sent the guard away to go try to help, like, stop Zenzi, because Zensei, like, full-on attacks, like, you know. But he sends his guard away to go, like, stop some of the Zenzi people, and that's when the betrayal thing happens. And when the guard comes back and he, like, sees the old man's dead, he's, like, devastated, obviously. And the Tenshi fucking grabs him and throws him into the wall and leaves a fucking crater in the wall, dude. He just fucking power launches him. It was pretty dope.
Fuck.
Yeah.
No, there was a couple funny parts though. Like whenever the Zinse like first started to attack, and Joe was up on the roof with that other express delivery guy. Which, by the way, express delivery, like I didn't really think too much of them before. Like, oh, okay, whatever, government funded people or whatnot. And then they fucking stormed the place. Like they had this shit on lockdown.
Yeah, legit.
But there was that one guy up there doing like a square version of the tri beam from Dragon Ball, just shooting air blasts at people. Like he's like, come at me, express delivery. And then he's just like, boom, what's up? Fucking just hit him with an air blast and he gets knocked at him.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It was pretty good. I mean, we kind of didn't make a whole lot of story progress, I guess, really. Other than finding that, like, the Zinse or the Tenchi was hiding something.
I think the reason why they want Cho to become Tenchi so bad is so that way they can get rid of that Kitagon style.
Kitagon style, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be something. I mean, I don't generally think that the Tenchi's a bad guy. I just think that there's something that would shake the foundation of the outsiders or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's genuinely a good dude. I mean, he was going out saving people and fighting Zinse. But there's definitely some shady shit going on. Who knows? Maybe it has something to do with why the war started to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
it's interesting.
Dude, I can't wait for season 3. Just mainly because of the fucking, absolutely, how clean the fights are in that. Like the parkour and then leading into the martial arts fight that we
see
on a clip. Like, dude, it's...
Yeah, that's what
season
I've been...
Season 1 into season 2, the animation difference just between that
was insane. Yeah. That's really what's kept me hanging in. I mean, this has been a good show, but it hasn't been anything to write home about. Mm-hmm. But from what I've seen in season 3, I think it will... like quickly rise to the tops, in a good fighting anime. That's almost an anime.
I'm really
There's 8 or 9 episodes I think so far of season 3. It's currently ongoing.
Right on.
Yeah, and we have not found a site to watch it. We forgot to do that before we started this. So
you forgot to do that.
Hey, this is a team effort, buddy. Assuming that we can find a website, we plan on watching the next 8 or 9 or maybe 10 episodes by the time we air next time of this. Are we good on this segment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, hey, cool. You're back.
Hey, what's up,
Stranger? Oh, yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. Like,
you no, you're good. I know you're really busy. I don't know if you have time for a fan segment next week. I know Craig recommended one to me last week, maybe, I feel like. I can't remember. I'm not going to do a fan segment for the next episode.
Like a shout-out?
No, like a fan recommendation.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to watch a fan recommendation show for the next one, but I will return, you know, the following week to do it. There's a show that I cannot believe that I forgot to recommend to you because of your love of werewolves.
What is it? Come on.
Okay, it's a Netflix original, and it's called The Order.
Oh.
Season 2 just came out. Season 1 was fucking... like, I loved every bit of it.
Man, my wife watched it, and she said it was awful.
I loved it, dude. I really did. Give it a shot if you don't like it. You know, big whoop. But season 2 just came out. I knew they were making a season 2. I just didn't know it was coming out. So instead of watching a fan recommendation this week, I'm going to watch that. Because I don't have time to do both.
I gotcha.
But that's my reasoning why. I highly recommend it. It's a little different. Like, instead of like getting bit by a werewolf, you get their powers.
Like a cult thing, isn't it?
Okay, so the show's called The Order because there's this order of... There's a group, I guess you could say, like a school club, and they use magic, and then they're called the Order. And then behind the scenes, there's werewolves that hunt people from the Order because they're basically evil, like a cult, kind of. Mm-hmm. And the werewolves, they don't, like, bite you to turn you. they have pelts, and the pelts choose you.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, I guess, that, I mean, not, I couldn't say necessarily true to the old ways, but like the whole pelt thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's similar to like natural mythology, I guess.
Yeah. So in the show, the main character, I believe it was his mom was part of the order and they killed her or something like that.
Assholes.
Yeah. And the dad like raised him to hate the order. So he gets him to go to this school. And then whilst he goes to the school, the order finds him.
Kind of similar to Hitori no Shita.
Yeah, yeah. And he joins the group, the order group, starts learning magic, and then coincidentally has a run-in with one of the werewolves and gets chosen by one of the pelts. So he's kind of like a double agent. He's kind of playing both sides of the field. So he's like working with the order, learning magic, while also working with the werewolves.
So he's like the Gajil of this show.
Yeah, but it's pretty good, man. I highly recommend it. I was very impressed personally, but maybe it's just because I'm a werewolf fanboy. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to watch that this week. So I'm going to sleep on the anime recommendations. But we are still going to watch Hitori. Hopefully same as time to catch up this time.
Yeah. one thing I did actually kind of want to ask Corey. So we kind of talked earlier about like what your favorite genres are and your favorite anime. What's one anime out of your like normal categorization that you don't normally watch that you really like?
That's a good question, man.
Like, for example, like I love martial arts type animes. Right. I mean, you know that, you know, Dragon Ball Z, Megalobox. I mean, that's a fighting style, or so. But my favorite, like, I don't really care much for slice of life type stuff. But Spice and Wolf, I absolutely love that show.
You could think on it. We can come back to it.
Yeah,
if you want.
Honestly, it might be the only show I could really think of right now is like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure because I don't really watch things like that typically.
Yeah, that show is definitely different. Especially, I mean, even considered compared to like the stuff I watch, which I like dark and gory shows, and then I also like you know good animated combat scenes. But that show is more of like they kind of fight with their minds. Really, they try to like outsmart each other. Or you know, you just beat the shit out of something really fast. Yeah. in Jotaro's case. But I agree with that. That's pretty good. But you know, I love JoJo.
Right asking now.
Yeah. So I guess we'll go ahead and skip over to the last segment, which is the Converging Path, where the fan recommends a show for us to watch. And last week I read a shout out from my buddy Jacob Treadway. And he recommended for me to watch Dorohedoro. Dorohedoro is a Netflix original. My overall opinion, it wasn't fantastic. Like, I wasn't, like, blown away by it. But it was a pretty good show overall, I think. It's only 12 episodes, if I recall. And basically, the premises of the show is there's different worlds. And one world has sorcerers on it, and then the other world is just, like, regular humans and stuff. And the sorcerers would cast magic, and then they would open a doorway, and then they would teleport over to the regular world, and then they would practice their magic on the regular humans in bad ways, like, you know, killing them, turning them into frogs, whatever. And the main character, his name is Kamen, he was a victim of... Well, believed to be a victim at the beginning of the show of a magic user who turned his head into that of a lizard's. So the whole show, he's got like a human body, he's big, massive, buff guy, but he's got the head of a lizard. And he teams up with this girl, and this is like a martial arts show too, so you might like it, Sam. So basically they're trying to find the wizard that, or the sorcerer is what they call him, that turned him into a lizard, so to try to get them to reverse the spell. So basically they're finding out where the sorcerers are going to open the doors at and meeting him there, and then the lizard guy has a person inside of his mouth it's kind of weird to explain, yeah, I guess. Yeah, so he'll, whenever they, like, beat a sorcerer, he'll, like, put the sorcerer's head in the mouth, and then the person inside of his throat will say, "You are not the one that we're looking for." And then if they're not the one that he's looking for, they'll just kill the sorcerer. So essentially the show is him trying to find who turned him into a lizard and turn him back. And then, you know, they're killing sorcerers. But I will say it didn't have a whole lot of fighting in it, but the fight scenes that it had were very crisp. I was pretty impressed. They were short, but you could tell they put a lot of their budget for the show into the fight animation. It kind of had like the slow downtime kicks to the face and stuff like that. It was pretty clean, and it had a lot of blood, and it had a decent story. Yeah, it had a decent story. Some pretty bizarre characters. There was one character that was basically like a 7 foot tall cockroach.
All right.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But yeah, overall, I mean, it's not something I would particularly like go out of my way to watch. But if you have time and you're just looking for something to pass, you know, a day or something to binge, I recommend it. I mean, it was a pretty good show overall. I was, you know, I liked it. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had on that.
Yeah, like TJ was saying earlier, though, like I got a bunch of life stuff going on right now with Air Force and stuff like that, just trying to get everything ready. So I didn't really have time to watch like a whole new anime and sit down and get into that. But on a side note, I did want to bring up a movie that I really, really love. And they're actually in probably my top five favorite relationships is in this movie. It's on, I believe it's Netflix. It's called A Silent Voice. The two main characters, Shoya and Shoku, or Shoko, or yeah. It's in Japanese, but they it's about this deaf girl, and as a kid, he you know, hangs out with the crowd, you know, they're bullies and whatnot, and they pick on this deaf girl, and they keep destroying like her hearing aid. So he's literally like a piece of shit as a kid. Or like hanging out with the kids and whatnot, trying to be cool and whatnot, you know. So he learns sign language, and then like later on in life sees her again. And they just end up like, he tries to make amends, he wants to be better, and they actually end up like falling in love.
Huh.
And it's a really good movie.
Sounds happy.
it is, and it's just one of the, it's one of those movies that like how Spice of Life is completely out of my category, like this one, completely out of my category. Like continue. This movie gives me anxiety watching because of the shit that happens in it. It's just kind of like, oh no. Oh fuck, what's about to happen? Because like actually it makes you care about the characters.
Huh.
You know, same. Like it's really good. And like I said, it's a movie, so I mean you don't have to dedicate an entire week to watching it. You know, you can just watch it in like an hour and a half, and it is a solid, good movie. 100%.
Speaking of movies, I mentioned last record session that I was going to watch Redline.
Yes.
And I did watch it. It was a little bit out of my area of my familiarity area. That's a hard word to say.
Especially at 12 at night.
yeah. Well, it's almost 1 o'clock now. But I liked it. Some of the characters were kind of weird. The aliens and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good. I really liked how they tied in the main character knowing that girl, like as when they were younger, and her not remembering him at first, and them kind of falling for each other. Obviously, I liked that they won the race. The only thing I didn't like was it didn't show them like holding a trophy or something to finish it. It just showed them like heard their car blowing up and then flying through the finish line.
Right. Like that movie, like the animation is just so over the top. And I mean that in like a good way, you know, like they don't overdo it. And of course the main character's got a pompadour, and I'm all about pompadours.
Yeah.
And,
like, I also thought it was cool that even though it was like a death race, the main character didn't use any violent tactics at all. He was just flat out a good driver.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Corey, you need to go watch that movie.
Good talk. Good talk. He might have. I don't know.
Can you hear me? No, it's a movie called Redline. It's a racing anime movie. You can look it up on YouTube, and I'm making sure to say YouTube because I think I said Netflix last time.
And I think you might
confused
have.
DJ.
I don't know.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube, just look up Redline anime movie, and you can watch the entire thing on there. It's a really good, solid racing show with amazing animation.
For the time. Amazing animation for the time.
It's still good.
Yeah. it's still good. Yeah, I think we hit our hour mark. We're about an hour and 5 minutes, which seems to be our time, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think we are going to call it quits. Do you guys have anything else to add?
No. I think I'm good.
All right, too. Corey? All right, buddy. It was nice having you. Until next time, you guys have a good one.
See ya.